Part 1. You will hear a man called Ian, talking on the radio about difficult neighbors. For each question, choose the correct answer. Now, we are ready to start. Listen carefully.
It was after 4 o'clock on a Thursday morning, and 28-year-old Isabel Berwick was longing for sleep. But the noise coming from the flat underneath hers had put paid to any thoughts of rest. As usual, a man who lived on the first floor of the converted terraced house in North London had been making loud phone calls for the past 3 hours in the room directly below. Even wearing earplugs and with a pillow over her head, she could hear every word. At the same time, his television was on at full blast. Isabel knew from bitter experience that the noise would continue until around 5 in the morning, allowing her, at best, 2 hours of snatch sleep before facing her demanding job as a financial journalist. When Isabel knocked on his door and politely asked him to make his calls from another room, he became abusive.
"I'll hit you if you ever come down here again," he threatened.
A letter pleading with him to keep the noise down went unanswered. Instead, the man took to lurking in the hallway in his underwear, leering at Isabel as she arrived home from work. Attempts to enlist help from police, the local council and the agency that had found her flat, all proved fruitless. Finally, after 5 miserable months, Isabel was forced to move out. Such situations are far from unusual. Many of us have had conflicts, great or small, with a neighbour, and complaints about our neighbours are on the rise. Research by the Consumers Association found that noise, including barking dogs, banging doors, loud music or television, shouting, children, motor vehicles and DIY were the biggest causes of disputes. 1 person in 10 considered their home life to be ruined by it, according to another poll. Other disputes were about building work, boundaries, overhanging trees, and unsightly gardens. Says Lisa Dawn, senior lecturer in psychology at De Montfort University, Milton Keynes, "Our increased population density means that more and more people live in close proximity, often on badly constructed housing estates. This crowded existence can be very stressful."
Now listen again.
It was after 4 o'clock on a Thursday morning, and 28-year-old Isabel Berwick was longing for sleep. But the noise coming from the flat underneath hers had put paid to any thoughts of rest. As usual, a man who lived on the first floor of the converted terraced house in North London had been making loud phone calls for the past 3 hours in the room directly below. Even wearing earplugs and with a pillow over her head, she could hear every word. At the same time, his television was on at full blast. Isabel knew from bitter experience that the noise would continue until around 5 in the morning, allowing her, at best, 2 hours of snatch sleep before facing her demanding job as a financial journalist. When Isabel knocked on his door and politely asked him to make his calls from another room, he became abusive.
"I'll hit you if you ever come down here again," he threatened.
A letter pleading with him to keep the noise down went unanswered. Instead, the man took to lurking in the hallway in his underwear, leering at Isabel as she arrived home from work. Attempts to enlist help from police, the local council and the agency that had found her flat, all proved fruitless. Finally, after 5 miserable months, Isabel was forced to move out. Such situations are far from unusual. Many of us have had conflicts, great or small, with a neighbour, and complaints about our neighbours are on the rise. Research by the Consumers Association found that noise, including barking dogs, banging doors, loud music or television, shouting, children, motor vehicles and DIY were the biggest causes of disputes. One person in 10 considered their home life to be ruined by it, according to another poll. Other disputes were about building work, boundaries, overhanging trees, and unsightly gardens. Says Lisa Dawn, senior lecturer in psychology at De Montfort University, Milton Keynes, "Our increased population density means that more and more people live in close proximity, often on badly constructed housing estates. This crowded existence can be very stressful."
Part 2. You will hear a tour guide talking to a group of people. For each question, fill in the missing information in the numbered space. Now, we are ready to start. Listen carefully.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Sally, and I will be your tour guide on tomorrow's excursion to Brighton. Now, there's lots to tell you because it's a very full day with many things to see and do. So first things first. The coach will be outside the town hall, which is to the left of the hotel, at 8 o'clock. Please make sure you are on time and ready to board the coach when it arrives, as it's a busy road and the driver can't stop for long. We will be in Brighton at 10 o'clock and you'll be dropped off at the Pool Valley coach station, which is very close to the seafront. We'll start our guided walking tour at 10:15 and we'll have a leisurely wander around the famous Brighton lanes for half an hour. The lanes are the original part of Brighton. They used to be narrow streets lined with fishermen's cottages, but now they are more famous for boutiques and jewellers. At 11 we'll go to the Royal Pavilion, which was once a royal palace. You'll probably all fancy a quick drink before the guided tour starts at 11:30. You can either sit inside the palace cafe or you can enjoy the summer weather in the Pavilion Gardens cafe. Lunch will be at 12:45 till 2 o'clock at the wonderful Donatello's restaurant. This is where the celebrities like to eat. There are two set menus on offer for us tomorrow. The two-course meal costs £6.95, and if you are hungry, there's a three-course meal for only £8.95. Non-alcoholic drinks are included in the price. The afternoon will be busy with a trip to the Brighton Museum and Art Gallery. This has recently been refurbished and it's worth a visit. The guided tour is free of charge for those who are interested. From 3 to 5 in the afternoon, you are free to explore Brighton seafront. Particularly worth visiting are the artist studios on the beach, the aquarium, and of course, Brighton Pier. Finally, to round off the day, we will be going for cream tea at the beautiful Grand Hotel, so forget any diets you may be on. Then it's a 5-minute walk to the coach station for a 6 p.m. departure. Now, are there any questions?
Now listen again.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Sally, and I will be your tour guide on tomorrow's excursion to Brighton. Now, there's lots to tell you because it's a very full day with many things to see and do. So first things first. The coach will be outside the town hall, which is to the left of the hotel, at 8 o'clock. Please make sure you are on time and ready to board the coach when it arrives, as it's a busy road and the driver can't stop for long. We will be in Brighton at 10 o'clock and you'll be dropped off at the Pool Valley coach station, which is very close to the seafront. We'll start our guided walking tour at 10:15 and we'll have a leisurely wander around the famous Brighton lanes for half an hour. The lanes are the original part of Brighton. They used to be narrow streets lined with fishermen's cottages, but now they are more famous for boutiques and jewellers. At 11 we'll go to the Royal Pavilion, which was once a royal palace. You'll probably all fancy a quick drink before the guided tour starts at 11:30. You can either sit inside the palace cafe or you can enjoy the summer weather in the Pavilion Gardens cafe. Lunch will be at 12:45 till 2 o'clock at the wonderful Donatello's restaurant. This is where the celebrities like to eat. There are two set menus on offer for us tomorrow. The two-course meal costs £6.95 and if you are hungry, there's a three-course meal for only £8.95. Non-alcoholic drinks are included in the price. The afternoon will be busy with a trip to the Brighton Museum and Art Gallery. This has recently been refurbished and it's worth a visit. The guided tour is free of charge for those who are interested. From 3 to 5 in the afternoon, you are free to explore Brighton's seafront. Particularly worth visiting are the artist studios on the beach, the aquarium, and of course, Brighton Pier. Finally, to round off the day, we will be going for cream tea at the beautiful Grand Hotel. So for